The Walmart cheer. They have this stupid cheer. The old man did it. They do.
Yeah, but you
all
see
right,
that like
a... Doc Sears. Hi. Doc Sears. 10th anniversary of Crew Train Manifest.
Yeah.
How do you feel at your birthday?
Well, here's the interesting thing. It's actually maybe a couple months past the 9th anniversary in terms of when it actually came out. They say the book... The website went up in spring, I forget when, March or April of 1999. The book came out in January of 2000, though we wrote it in the summer of 1999. But we started talking in 1998. So I suppose on that count, we have an anniversary, I suppose. I feel fine. I feel good. I think both succeeded at doing roughly what we wanted it to do, which is just introduce a whole bunch of ideas to the world that we thought were right and seem to be panning out in most cases.
Indeed, they have, and I think those people who actually agreed with it 10 years ago, we are still as fervent and positive about it as we were then. Now, what happened to those people? And I'm thinking about, for instance, Markov's review in PC World. Where you know he was imagining how you would be feeling and what you would be doing if you're sitting around in a circle writing the book. How it happened to those critics?
I have no idea. We weren't listening to them. So I have no idea. It's interesting. Dan Gilmore, who's a very good friend, actually gave a kind of a mixed review in the Mercury News. My own wife gave it a negative review in a way. She thought we were assholes. And acting like assholes, but the truth is, we needed to be assholes to some degree. I mean, at least by the sensibility of the time. You know, we were rude and other stuff like that. But, you know, we were never doing it for critics. We never even thought about critics, honestly. I mean, I think we just, you know, we said what we thought was true. And so it was, you know... Let's talk about it. That was pretty much our attitude.
So one thing for me as a data person, which I was missing in the book then, and still sort of missing, of course, is what about conversational data?
Okay, so the book was much more diagnostic than prescriptive. We went out of our way not to be prescriptive, not to say you must do this. I don't even know how to do, you talked about conversation data. I didn't even know what to do with it. As a matter of fact, an interesting thought that I had when you were speaking, and you can refresh your readers or listeners later on this, is that I did a post on the VRM blog several months ago about how all surveys are wrong. Every single time I get a survey, I don't like it. Every single one is making guesses about me based on my zip code, the fact that I bought something once. They are by nature impersonal. You know, to me, here's an interesting thing. So I'll go back to a conversation I had with Tim O'Reilly a long time ago, Tim O'Reilly of O'Reilly Books and the many conferences, about the discomfort that we both had with the notion that information is a commodity, right? That there's a sum of information. You have a pile of information. We've always talked about how information is not data. There's a difference between information and data. Not we, but a lot of people have talked about that. But... what came out of the conversation with Tim was visiting the derivation of the word information. The word information is as a sum, as a noun, as a commodity, was derived from the verb to inform, right? Which is in turn derived from the verb to form. If you tell me something I didn't know before, I'm changed by that, okay? If Jeremiah or any of the other people speaking here today tells me something I didn't know before, I now have that knowledge. I am different than I was. To be human is to be curious and to be, we are creatures that are enlarged by what we know. From the time we're born, we're endlessly curious. This is part of the nature of the human creature. We enlarge ourselves by our use of tools. When you drive your car, you speak about my fender and my wheel as if it's part of your body, right? If you're a carpenter with a hammer, you are personally driving nails through wood. Okay, we use our tools to enlarge ourselves. And some of those tools are the knowledge that we have. Okay, and the knowledge that we have is in fact who we are. That's not even measurable. So the line that came out of the conversation with Tim about information not being a commodity and being the commoditized form of the verb to form each other, okay, was this. We are all authors of each other. And what we call authority is the selective right that we grant to certain other people to enlarge who we are. I will listen to some people and not listen to other people. Okay. So going back to the critics, I granted them no authority over the Clue Train. We didn't care. And you know, they did not form me in the least. I don't even remember what they said. You know, whatever it was that Dan Gilmore wrote, I don't remember at all. I remember many other things that Dan has said and the many other good things he's done in the world. He's a good friend and he's a pal and he's done wonderful stuff. And that's what matters. He has, you know, his rules about citizen media, his experiments with citizen media and participatory media and his work at trying to enlarge what we know and do in those areas is far more important to me than one review we did of a book that came out 9 years ago. Good. So,
again, happy birthday, and let's go back and see what people have to say to our little exercise of what they do if they had all the data that Google has about our conversations in their drop differently tomorrow.
By the way, I don't think Google's paying much attention at all. That's not personally.
Thanks.